It's the 120 Podcast, Mikey Fernelli alongside Ben Hootie for another week of Cubs baseball. Coming to you live on Tuesday night as the Cubs currently trail the Atlanta Braves from Wrigley Field. We record live, which is some of our favorite times to record because you get to see our honest reaction. And we are coming at you after what has been a tough weekend where the Cubs would look to turn a new leaf as the lineup returns to a level of, I would say, pretty solid, where it was when the Cubs were doing pretty well, where they built up this record so they can at least still be above 500 after the skid they've recently been on.
Yeah, it feels good to see that nine out there finally healthy. That's kind of the nine you expected to see just about every day going into this season. So yeah, hopefully, you know, some of these guys like Dansby kind of was going through a bit of a struggle when he went on the IL, and tonight he's 2 for 2. So you hope to see him kind of come back to form and contribute. Cody Bellinger's been awesome as of late, and hopefully Saya can run into some better luck, and some other guys I think we'll mention need to pick it up a little bit, and I think we'll talk about that as we get through the episode.
The self-titled pairing in the middle infield of Nickel and Dime both return tonight in their first game back here as the Cubs start this series against the Atlanta Braves. But Ben, let's start with this. Start the podcast with the best news possible. A Cubs legend, a Cubs Hall of Famer, a real Hall of Famer, has announced, Ryan Sandberg, that he has no detection of cancer in his recent PET and MRI tests. And this is after finishing chemo treatments, and he's headed to radiation for several weeks since the original diagnosis was incurable cancer. But to keep at the very minimum has been the goal since treatment started, is what Rhino said on Instagram, and this nice picture of him and his wife with a Keith Urban song called Better Life as the caption. Rhino is at least safe from cancer for now, and that is a huge W. It really hasn't been that long, and he's been very communicative about his process through it. He threw out the first pitch at Wrigley not too long ago. Love to hear that that's not going to be a big thing we have to worry about.
Yeah, he's a Cubs legend, and you know, through this all, we've been praying for him and hoping for the best, and just to hear that he's doing well, and you know, it's now fully gone away. That's just awesome to hear. And hopefully he could keep fighting strong. We've been Rhino strong on this podcast ever since it first got announced. And yeah, just hoping for the best for what is probably, you know, top three Cub of all time. And
yeah,
you mentioned Hall of Famer, just one of the greatest players to ever put on the pinstripes. So yeah, hoping for the best for him and just happy to hear that news today, because as we said, he's a legend and he's done so much for this city with his time with the Cubs and even after it. So
he's such
a great guy.
So damn proud to be a Cub. Like, he's there. He was constantly involved, just as a fan, basically, but just constantly involved, constantly posting about it. Like, he's just one of those guys that I would say a young player, like maybe a Pete Carl Armstrong or somebody, should look at and be like, yeah, if I play my entire career with this team, like, they will treat me well and I will continue to treat them well. Like, even after you're done, you can continue to still be part of the family. So to see a Hall of Famer be that proud of it has always been awesome. And it's great to hear we're not going to be losing Rhino, at least not in the foreseeable future, it would seem. So love to hear it. Congrats to Rhino and his family, and hope to have him out at Wrigley again soon for another first pitch, where I'm sure he would get a good old standing O.
Of course.
But I brought up PCA there, and I was trying to avoid bringing him up, but I felt like I had to, because that's the other big story right now. And not to take too much of a hard left turn, obviously bigger than baseball, we're glad Rhino's good, but on the baseball field, as the Cubs return to full strength, some guys obviously had to be moved down, moved to the IL, et cetera, just to move around different roster things, including Pete Crow Armstrong back to Iowa, who Ben just told me just went yard in his first game back down in Iowa. So, Ben, what do you think that timetable is for the return on a Pete Crow Armstrong as this lineup returns to the nine that we would have projected in April?
I don't know. I hope it's soon, because I think he was doing pretty well for himself the last couple of games, especially that last week in Atlanta. Had a game where he went 3 of 4. Stellar defense, obviously, out in center field, but we know center field's a little taken up right now by a certain all-star player. Timetable, I wish I could tell you. You know, he'll probably be the first man back on the roster when an injury happens. I think another headline that, you know, kind of went under the radar this week was the fact that they called up Luis Vasquez, who's an infielder that was slugging in minor league baseball, and that was kind of the corresponding move with Mastroboni.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I feel like they have enough outfielders at this point where, or excuse me, enough infielders at this point where I kind of wish they just sent down the two slumping just middle infielders that just are not that good. They sent one down in Mastroboni. I kind of wish they just sent down Madrigal and kept PCA around the fold for a while here, even if he wasn't getting the playing time that, you would hope for him to. But I don't know. I really don't know what the timetable is. Maybe I would say he's the first man up when another injury inevitably happens, because it's a 162 baseball season. We know something is going to end up breaking. Or maybe if they don't want to keep Vasquez around, maybe PCA comes right back up for him. We'll have to see. But I think he's the first man off the bench down in Iowa to eventually make his return. I would say even before a Canario or once again another like Mastroboni. He was just kind of, it was kind of feeling like he was getting to that form that we had hoped to see him as. Not fully, but like it felt like he was kind of becoming more comfortable as a major league hitter and just an all around player, where I just hope that we could see more of that. And especially in these summer months, I feel like he's just someone that you just want to have around at Wrigley Field. We saw the moment in late April when he hit his first home run against the Astros, and that was just such a cool moment. And you just hope for more of that this summer. And I really hope to see a lot of PCA this summer at the Federal Landmark.
You should be able to. 23 games this season, 13 hits, 9 RBIs, 5 stolen bases. Not great with 13 strikeouts, but a extreme improvement from what we saw of him last season in 13 games without a hit. So he really started to kind of get into an everyday, not an everyday player, but somebody who should be on a major league lineup and what you hope for him. And he can only move up from there. That's the thing, though. When your lineup is as strong as it is, and as Carter Hawkins talked about on the broadcast today, before we started recording, I was watching a little bit, and Carter was talking about, yeah, I mean, transparently, they have had the woes recently. We kind of alluded to the fact of this. We figured most of our listeners would know this following the Cubs, but they dropped 3 out of 4 to the Pirates over the weekend. It's just not what you expected recently. Cubs still above 500 by a couple games, just have really started to slip in recent weeks. And that is a lot to do with this lineup being completely depleted, and for every one that comes up, one goes down, right? It was a lot of Seiya coming in and Dansby going to the IL, and Hap taking 2 days off in Atlanta, and then not being a major league batter since then. It's been a lot of nonsense, and Carter talked about how, yeah, here's our lineup now. Like, who knows how long it's going to be back together? We're still waiting on a couple people like Jordan Wicks, but for the time being, let's see what we can do now that we're back to full strength. And there is no better time than now for the Cubs to start to put together a couple more wins, win a few more series, and get back on the right track. Because they are by no means out of it. They started the year so hot that they could completely switch it back into it as soon as they get a couple wins.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that they ran into this bad of luck this late into this kind of like stint of so many players on the IL. Because when the Cody Bellingers and the Seiyas, when they all went, I would argue those are our two best hitters, no doubt, on the team. When they went on the IL, the Cubs were finding ways to win ball games, and those are your two big guys, your two and three hitters that, you expect to be like in the All-Star game, basically. Like those are your two big thumpers in that lineup. And the Cubs were managing to win ball games. And then when they came back, it's like the rest of the lineup, I would say Seiya and Cody have kind of really been like, and Morel as well, kind of only been the three that have really been hitting, while the rest of the lineup has gone ice cold. Talkman's been very good, solid as well. But still, it's just very eerily similar to what we saw at the end of last year, where it's like everything kind of went cold. And hopefully you could kind of break out of that slump with, first of all, your best nine officially on the roster, and you're going to plan on playing those nine every single day, just about. And just to break out of this slump, because it's been part of the reason they've lost a lot of ball games. Because once again, pitching, for the most part, we've seen some struggles from Justin Steele since he's come off the IL, but you're still getting incredible starts out of Shota Imanaga, who is just, it's insane what he's been able to do. I know we talked about it last week, and I feel like we've talked about it every week on this podcast. The starting pitching has not been the problem really at all. It's now that this lineup's kind of gone ice cold on top of a bullpen that is just trying to find an identity at this point. So hopefully the bats can get back to where they were with this nine back. And you're kind of circling a couple guys looking across this lineup. You kind of want to get Michael Busch back to that production that we saw earlier in the year. He's striking out so much. He's striking out in big situations. And I think the biggest just I know you mentioned him, but the biggest red flag on this roster right now is 100% Ian Happ. I have no idea what's going on with him, and it's getting to the point where, these media across Chicago and the fan base is getting really just frustrated and disappointed because this is a guy that is playing in left field every day, and is he even really your best option at the point? You just sent down a Pete Crow Armstrong who was hitting much better than Ian Happ before they sent him down. Talkman could play left field every day if they needed him to, and he's been a really solid leadoff hitter for the Cubs, I would say, throughout this entire season. So you just hope that, with Dansby and Nico back, that will bring this thing kind of back into form, and to get some more production out of Michael Busch and Ian Happ, and get even more production out of Bellinger, Saya, and Morel and Talkman from what they've already been doing previously.
You alluded to a few points there. First, Mike Talkman, 44 games, 29 runs, 13 RBIs, 4 big thumps, 9 doubles. The stats go on in the summer. Mike Talkman 2 is beginning, and it's not even the summer. I saw that one on TikTok, and I was proud of it. Had to restate that one.
The biggest thing of it all, too, is he's just taking walks. He's like top 10 in the league in on base percentage right now. And he's just getting on base at such a high clip, no matter what, whether it's the timely single. He had an RBI in today's game earlier. And just taking walks at the top of that order to set up, the Morels and Sayas and Bellingers of the world to try and drive him in.
You also
So.
mentioned Shota, and sorry to cut you off, but you also mentioned Shota. Patrick Mooney in The Athletic mentioned Shota being Shota is the main difference between the Chicago Cubs confidently charging forward or quietly wondering if their season has already started to slip away. I think that's a stretch, but that's how good Shota Imanaga has been as a relatively unheralded 30-year-old rookie out of Japan, and that's how bad this could have gotten given the team's other breakdowns. Yeah, there's been a couple big things, and to Mooney's point, that have really kept the Cubs in the confidence zone. It's leadership and leadoff spot from Mike Talkman. It's Shota Imanaga's pitching and Javier Assad's pitching, although we saw a little bit less of that today, and a few other little random things that have kept the Cubs confident. There have been a lot of slips, though, and you got there with Ian Happ.
Yeah, it's you want to fix that because it's just we're 50 games into this season, right? Just about 50 games into the
Just
season.
about.
And this is feeling similar to what we saw at the end of last season. And you hope that they can fix that into these summer months where they can build themselves a big enough of an advantage in not only the wild card standings, but potentially the NL Central, where you don't have to worry so much about those last couple weeks coming down to the wire to determine your fate, whether you make the playoffs or not.
There's also this, and I was going to go into some Happ stats. We all know how terrible Happ has been, and he should figure it out. But there's also this, and it's the Kyle Hendricks situation. And this is something big that Ben and I wanted to get on this episode because we've talked about it so often. Somebody said on Instagram today that this is the right choice, but he better not pay for a drink again in Chicago. And yeah, that's funny, but like, it's weird. You don't normally see such a hero decline like this and not retire, not leave the team. Like, you have to find a place for him for the time being. And for now, that's the bullpen. And for a guy like Kyle Hendricks, who is all business, as is Craig Counsell, I think that's mutual. I think Kyle completely understands that and feels like that's where he can best support the team. Even if it's supporting younger pitchers and teaching him a thing or two out in the bullpen. He was just chatting up with Luke Little before the game today, I saw. I don't know what his status is going to be out there. My guess is he's the first man up when the roster, or sorry, when the rotation inevitably loses another arm. But I don't know. We'll have to see what happens as Kyle Hendricks becomes a reliever for quite possibly the first time in his career.
We talked about it a couple weeks ago when he had his first, maybe it was last week, when he had his first really good start against Pittsburgh that Sunday, or maybe it was another game, and he said it just felt good to be out there and keep the boys in a ball game. And listening to his press conference the other day, you could tell he's really, really defeated right now with just how this entire season's gone and just everything that's surrounding, how bad of a season it's been. It's been abysmal. When you look at I saw this stat, I think. I think I saw it on TikTok, so it could be wrong. Don't want to fact check it, but and it changed today. So the Cubs have given up 98 runs. Starting pitching has given up 98 runs this season. So that's including today, because Assad gave up 2. I'm pretty sure Hendricks is accountable for 32 of those runs. just to put that in perspective, how many games have been lost because of Kyle Hendricks? It's bad. And I hope that he could figure it out in the bullpen, but I don't know, man. You're just not. It worked a couple years ago, and last year might have been the last year where it finally like kind of clicked. But the average fastball in Major League Baseball this year is about 94 miles per hour, 93, 94 miles per hour. His average fastball is 88, 87. It's just not working like it used to because he just doesn't get swings and misses anymore. Everyone has caught up to this major league pitching where it's almost like every year we've had a jump in fastball velocity, where I feel like everyone is kind of caught up to this 87, where it's almost like you're seeing BP every time you see his fastball.
You got
It's
you got no, but you're right, because you got Paul Skene sitting down the first seven Cubs that he faces on strikes, and he's pitching 98 miles per hour. Like it's completely valid. This starter velocity is scary. And Kyle Hendricks, who we've discussed was so Shota Imanaga-esque in his prime, it's impressive that Shota is so good, because Hendricks pitched that way, where it was more philosophized, or whatever you call it, going to class. They called him professor because he would have a strategy for the game, and he would pitch around guys and stuff. And it's just, I think everything's caught up. Jackson Storm
Yeah,
has caught up to Lightning McQueen.
exactly.
That's the bottom line.
That was Paul Skenes this weekend to Kyle
Literally,
Hendricks.
it literally is. But there's,
Can,
go ahead.
while we're talking about starting pitching, I just want to mention this really quick. That 1-2 of the Pirates is going to be so scary for the next couple of years. Jared Jones and Paul Skenes are both rookies, and they are just phenomenal. It is absurd how good they are. And that's scary. The NL Central is just, they have so many good prospects, and that's including the Cubs. Like, nothing to hang the Cubs head over.
No, God,
But
no.
just looking across the NL Central, you're seeing two just already would be number one options on most Major League Baseball rosters on the Pirates. And they're one of them's two starts into his career, and the other one's 10. You look at the Reds, Ellie De La Cruz has 30 stolen bases already to begin this season, which is just unheard of. Most guys wish to get 30 stolen bases in 2 seasons. And that's on top of him, finally kind of figuring it out as a major league hitter. The strikeouts are still there, but it doesn't matter because he'll mash a baseball in your face whenever you feel like it. And the Brewers have a good farm system, and Chirio is very solid too. I know he's kind of found a little bit of struggles, but he's going to be a star. And the Cardinals have their fair share of prospects as well. So the Central is just lining up for the next couple of years. I know it's been at the bottom of the barrel for the last, couple seasons here, but I think the Central is turning up to be, for the next 6 to 7, 8 years to be one of the best divisions in baseball just based on the prospects.
Yeah. Let's see Paul Skene's pitch against anyone but the Cubs, and we'll talk then. You're probably right. No, you are totally right. I just think it's hilarious that his only two starts are against the Cubs, and both of them pretty solid starts, including 11 strikeouts against the Cubs this past weekend. Hey, back to Hendricks real quick. I was looking into Baseball Reference while we talked there. So he has had, I thought this was basically the case. He has had every season, he's had the exact same amount of appearances as starts, except the World Championship season with his lowest ERA of 2.13. But it was the regular season. I'm reading an article about it, because I saw it was 31 appearances for 30 starts. And I looked it up, and it was just an article I saw today that somebody brought it up. Hendricks made only one relief appearance in his big league career, July 7th, 2016, against Atlanta. He threw two scoreless innings, and he only pitched in relief that day because he was not scheduled to start again before the All-Star break. So the Cubs had him come out of the bullpen on his throw day to lighten the load on the rest of the relief crew. Hey, if you can throw two scoreless innings against the Braves today, that would be helpful.
He came in for relief for the World Series as well.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. But it's saying this
Oh,
is just
okay.
the right. I thought that's what it meant at first. I was like, yeah, I
Oh.
thought the 30 for 31 was the playoffs. I'm like, yeah, it makes sense of the World Series. But I'm like, wait, this is just regular season. Where is that one relief appearance? So I Googled it, and somebody had beat me to the punch today as he got optioned to the bullpen.
Interesting. Yeah, it's gonna be weird to see. Maybe that'll be nice that after a game, I mean, the Cubs pitchers don't throw with that much velocity anyways, but after seeing 95 mile per hour fastball or 94 or whatever it might be, then you're catching 88 for an inning or two. That might not be the worst thing, but
Nuh-uh.
I don't know. I hope this reliever thing works out. I hope he gets his mechanics back down and he just Class is back in session, but I think most of, not just us, but most of Cubs Nation's agreement that it's exactly the Jackson Storm meme.
Yep.
Time's over, old man.
It is over. And where does that put Shota Imanaga? He's old fashioned.
It's so much different. It's just the way
Right.
that he attacks hitters. Did you see the thing that he is against the nine hole this year? Did you see this?
No.
I don't, it's just like something, it's just like one of those stats that pops out at you. And, you know, nothing like, nothing really crazy, but like still, I think it's pretty impressive the fact that he's done this. This year, Shota Imanaga against the nine hole in all lineups, he's only given up one hit in 18 at bats against
Wow.
the nine hole. And the one hit is against Luis Arraez, who came in to pinch hit a couple weeks ago at Wrigley Field, and he was in the nine hole. So,
Yeah.
does that even count?
Was that when we were? No, he was. He pitched.
No.
Arraez started the game we were at.
Yeah. I think it was the. Did we go to the.
We went to the second game. No, first game. It was a Monday.
Monday.
Yeah, it was
Yeah,
a
we went to the
Monday.
Monday game.
We
So
went to the
that was the
Monday game,
first
yeah.
game of the series.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So it was the very first game of the series. It was a Monday, and it was Justin Steele's first start back. He was good. And then in relief, they let up 6 runs to the Padres and never looked back. Ben, let's talk a little bit about outside Cubs because, well, it is related to the Cubs. But yes, this lineup is back to its fullest strength. And if they aren't winning, but they still want to commit to having a winning season, you might have to retool with this roster, including a couple teams that are already pressing the panic button. I don't know if you saw the rumors today, but the team that our friend Matt Cozy over the offseason talked about might be willing to trade some pieces is willing to clean up shop, and Bo Bichette to the Cubs might not be a foregone conclusion.
That would be insane, right?
Absolutely, it'd be great.
I don't know what the situation would be because it feels like they might have finally found their third baseman in Chris Morel. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to just kind of take a look at that whole situation with the Blue Jays because they have definitely been struggling to start this year. And it's kind of a situation where, like, it's just kind of a situation where it's just weird that they're kind of struggling. And do you want to pay those guys as much money as you're going to in the next couple of years for how much the Blue Jays have been struggling? So, you know, I would love Bo Bichette on the Cubs, but I think we kind of, I feel like we might have our answer at third base, and we obviously have it up the middle infield right now as well.
There is lots of talk about who the Cubs could trade for. We talked last week about Mason Miller potentially from the Oakland A's. There, if you could trade for one position right now on this Cubs roster, where do you think it would be? And I'll start. And I'll let you think about your answer. I kind of alluded to it right there with Miller. I don't think it has to be, but I think you need one more really solid reliever on this Cubs team. And I think it's just going to be a matter of time before something like that happens because yeah, Bichette would be a flashy move, but is it necessarily going to save the entire team? I don't think so. It would be an awesome move, but I don't think it's going to be, oh my God, we're going to the World Series now.
No doubt. I think it's 100% a reliever, a good solid reliever. I know we mentioned Tanner Scott in the past, the Marlins' current closer, who's a left-hander.
Summer of Mike Talkman. Sorry to cut you off. 3-3. Bush scores, Talkman singles,
There
Cubs
we
tied
go.
up.
As I was talking about earlier, look at that. Does it again.
Another RBI.
Yeah, it's got to be a reliever. I feel like every position is kind of filled at this point, and the positions that you might have question marks around, I think there's enough depth in the minor leagues where you want to see those guys start to make real contributions to the major league rosters. But I would not say that's you necessarily have that in the minor leagues with the relievers, maybe besides Porter Hodge, which I think he's still up. I think he's with the Cubs right now. But yeah, I would say relievers 100% go. I would say 1 to 2 even. You got to figure this out. You got to figure this bullpen out. You hope that, you know, guys like Bush and everyone figures it out as well. I just think there's enough depth on the position player side in the minor leagues where, you know, if something were to happen, someone were to go down, you know, next man up. Same thing with starting rotation because we've seen it all year. As soon as one guy's gone down, we've seen awesome contributions out of guys like Ben Brown and Hayden Wesneski who have came up from the minor leagues and managed to be starters. So relievers, get as much reliever help as you possibly can.
Yeah, I think that's the bottom line. And it's funny because that's exactly what we talked about in the offseason that this team would end up needing. And it's exactly what they need. Not to say they didn't try over the offseason, but I kind of like this Hendricks thing. He's good the first two times through the order. I mean, Carter said it himself on the call today. It's almost, I don't want to compare it to like trading for a veteran starter and making him a reliever, but it kind of, because they don't really do that, but it kind of feels like that. Like, allow Hendricks to still have a spot on this team. Like, I still would trust Kyle Hendricks for a couple outs over a few of our guys at this point out of the bullpen. He still could get outs. He's still Kyle Hendricks. He still is a Cy Young winner, if not for his own teammate and Jake Arrieta. Like, it's just, he's just still Kyle Hendricks. Like, you can't turn him away and you can't phantom IL him. You can't make him retire. Find use. And I think that's a good use for him in the bullpen. I think it's long overdue.
We'll have to see on Thursday because that's when we'll see him first out of the bullpen. They already announced that Thursday is a bullpen game, so hopefully, maybe we'll see him one to two. I would say 1 to 2 innings, maybe depending on how he's going. I don't think he'll get the start. Maybe. I don't know. He'll probably get the start. He'll probably get the first 2 innings, and then they'll go to maybe Ben Brown or Wisniewski or something. So I don't know. We'll have to see how this works out. I hope it works out for the best for him and the success of this Cubs team. But right now he's just a black hole in that rotation, and I think there are better options as we stand right now. We've seen it with, great contributions out of Ben Brown and Wisniewski, as I mentioned.
I feel like you gotta let him come off the bullpen bench because if you still let him just start the game, there's really no major difference. And then what happens if, like, oh, he mows down his, like, four of his first six batters via the strikeout, and he's rolling after 2 innings, and you're gonna sub him out for Wes, who lets up a solo shot his first batter? Then it's like, oh my God. I mean, you can't forecast that, don't get me wrong, but if you're gonna commit to Kyle Hendricks in the bullpen for a while or at least a couple weeks, let him come out of the bullpen. Like, I wouldn't be opposed to seeing him, like, during this series, like, it can't be today, but like earlier on in the series. I know Thursday's a bullpen game, but would love to see him get a couple innings here and there.
I think they already said he's going to go on Thursday, no matter what, because that's like part, that would be part of his, because he started on
Right. So
Saturday,
he can't go today. So he but
and
he
he can't go tomorrow
can't
either.
go tomorrow. But are you gonna let him come out of the bullpen Thursday or let him start? That's what I'm getting at, because I don't know if I like the idea of letting him still start.
It's just more the fact that I think they're not going to let him go as long as, I don't know, we'll have to see. We're not
We'll have
Craig
to see.
Counsell. We're not Craig
No.
Counsell and Jed Hoyer. We're not the ones making decisions.
Counsel, and I think Counsel's comments so far about Hendricks show that, like, yeah, Hendricks gets the utmost respect, but like no one's above the law on this team. Like, I don't think Counsel feels the need to satisfy any needs for Hendricks. And I don't think Hendricks feels that way. Hendricks is not gonna say, oh, I'm on a big contract, I'm the big veteran, I gotta get every start I can. No, I think Hendricks hates being the reason why they lose a ball game. He's talked about it openly. Like, if Hendricks knows that his role is in the bullpen for a while, he'll stay that way. He'll know his lane. And it
Yeah,
sucks, but it is what it is.
I think he gladly will is taking over that role right now because he would
Yeah.
rather make meaningful contributions than go 5 innings and give up 8 runs. Then that's kind of how this season's gone with him.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a number of things that allude to the fact that it's going to be even longer, I would think, before we might get a some Iowa additions to this Chicago Cubs rotation. But that's a good problem to have, right? We've seen a great resurgence from Javier Assad, who was supposed to be the sixth man, and he's got one of the lowest ERAs in baseball coming into tonight's start, at least. So it's been tough for Hendricks, but overall, I think the additions we've seen from the rotation have been pretty solid.
100%. Rotation has been the besides really Hendricks and a couple bad starts from Steele, that's been what you look at and you just give a big fat star over this rotation. The way it's been assembled, it's just worked out perfectly and it's won the Cubs a hell of a lot of ball games, and we hope that continues into the warm months of June and July and this offense starts to heat up and things are cooking at the friendly confines and we feel really good about this team headed into the fall.
We said this last year a couple times. All it takes is to get hot, and they did last summer in about July, and that was all it took. And the thing is, the position they were in before then made it so getting hot was even more meaningful. We have to acknowledge they're still 4 games above 500. They started really hot. This is not panic mode at all. We jokingly said it's panic mode time over the weekend. But one thing that we do get to see this weekend is our first look at St. Louis this season, which is crazy to say in essentially June. But it's our first look at the Cardinals, who have been woeful. And I'm excited to see what the Cubs can do in St. Louis. Hopefully get back on the right track. Hopefully first against the Braves, but they're going to see some NL Central fun. They'll get the Cardinals, then the Brewers, then the Reds, then the White Sox, then the Reds again. That is a lot of angry Cubs nation on Twitter if they don't find a way to win some of those games.
You're better than all those teams. Go out there, prove it. Get this offense back on the right track. Hopefully, we get a series win against Atlanta. But this next stretch, what you just mentioned right there, I know I've been forecasting it, but I didn't really click in my head until now. That's huge. Like, that's big time. So go out, win all four of those series, especially against St. Louis this weekend. Don't let what happened this weekend against Pittsburgh, who, once again, you're a better team than them. Don't let it happen again. Get a series win against your rivals, and yeah, Joe Buck call on Saturday.
I saw. That's awesome. I'm so excited for that. Like, jokes aside, I might have to actually watch the Cardinals broadcast for a game. Like, that's so cool.
I don't think it's the Cardinals
I
broadcast.
think
I
it's.
think it's the Fox game on Saturday afternoon.
Oh, I thought it may. Is he doing one on? I think what it is, he's doing one national. I think he's doing one on Friday with Bally Sports as well, like Bally Sports Midwest or whatever.
Oh, interesting.
So I
Okay,
think
so he's got two.
maybe he's got, I don't know if he's got one or two, but I know he's doing the game with Chip, who is the Cardinals' main announcer. Is the whole point is Chip and Joe are going to do it together, just like their grandpa and dad, respectively, like they used to do Cardinals games together. It'll be Cardinals pandering the whole time, but I would think they're going to have plenty of mentions to Harry Caray, you know, being so famous for as a Cubs announcer too, and Jack and Joe Buck being adjacent to the Cubs as well. I would think it's just going to be kind of baseball pandering and the Cubs and Cardinals and the how can you not be romantic about baseball? I'm sure it'll be sick.
Yeah, and as much of a homer as Chip Carey is, Joe Buck, I think, has kind of turned on the Cubs a little bit. Like, I think he's got a soft spot for them because
Oh, he
that's
does.
probably his greatest call of all time,
He does.
I would say, of his career. So maybe it won't be too much Cardinals
Well, it just stinks
talk.
because Chip's got a. What's the best way to talk about this? Like, it's like when you know you're gonna get fired, and you still gotta train the guy who's gonna take your job. Like, obviously Joe Buck needs no training, but like as soon as Joe Buck is ready to be done with football or wants another baseball job, he literally has to call the Cardinals front office and be like, hey. And they'll tell Chip, hey, sorry, you'll land on your
You're
feet.
gone.
Yeah, you'll
You're
land on your
gone.
feet. And
Go
Chip
back
would
to
land on his
Atlanta.
feet. Yeah, they'll go sign with the A's. We don't have to hear, hello, okay, Brent Rooker. We don't, or the White Sox. Either way, like Chip will be fine. But as soon
Getting a
as
little
Joe Buck is ready,
controversial here now.
I'm not saying anything about anyone specifically. I'm just saying that is one of the worst home run calls ever, and it happened again yesterday with it's got a chance and it dinked off the video board in left field in Kansas City.
Brent Rooker, it's got a chance off the fucking
I'm just
scoreboard.
saying it is for those who don't know the context of what we're talking about, look it up. We're not going to say it, but like I'm just saying it's been, yeah, the White Sox and the A's are in a terrible broadcasting battle right now.
Wait,
Chip would
can
land.
we talk about that really quick? Not the. Did you hear about the stuff with Schifrin and 670 the score?
Drift Dog. Oh, how he's talking about he didn't know Bill Vack and stuff like that.
Bill Veeck, you're
Bill
talking
Veeck,
about?
either
That's what
way.
he called him. That's what he called
Yep.
him. And no, it's bad. It's 6-7 because Gordon Beckham like screwed up a an ad read.
Wait, he called him Veeck?
He called him Bill Veeck.
Bill Veeck. Yeah, okay. I thought so. I was like, why are you correcting me? I knew I was right, but you're saying what Shrift Dog said.
Yes.
Okay.
And it all started because they talked about that. And then it got really bad when Gordon Beckham, it was his first game of the year, he screwed up an ad read. And Schifrin on the live broadcast said, "Don't worry, but you might have some radio losers clip that and play it on Monday morning." And that's where 670, like one of their producers just went in on them on Twitter. It was Shane Reardon, just went in on Schifrin on Twitter and was like, "Brother, like, come on. Like, what are we doing
You're
here?"
not making any friends doing that, that's for sure.
No, it's bad. I know some White Sox fans like his old shtick and everything like that, but I know a good handful of White Sox fans that are not a fan of him at all.
Yeah, I don't know. And the whole, I said it on this podcast before, the whole Southside stand-up thing, which he doesn't say anymore because he got bullied and not saying that anymore. Vaughn walks out, or Vaughn or Brett Tendy both got their walk off, and he's like, for all the haters or whatever. Like, it's no, we're not doing that this year. We're not doing that any year, but it's yeah. As go.
I had a friend tell me this weekend. I had a friend tell me this weekend that he's like, This dude acts like we're winning the World Series when we're literally the worst fucking team in Major League Baseball.
that Liam Lyons? Was that friend of the podcast, Liam Lyons?
No,
Okay.
Domenico.
That sounds like something Liam would have said, actually. Domenico is a former Crosstown. Well, what can we call it? Crosstown Cup that never completed, champ, not champion,
All right,
contestant.
well, I guess I could
Uh-oh.
announce it here. We have a bet going on. Which, for the people that are listening that know what the Crosstown Trivia Classic is, just tune in
Yeah.
on YouTube. It never got finished.
Maybe
Just
next
was,
year.
but no, here's the bet. So it's two
What?
White Sox fans that are in the championship. My two of my closest friends, Nick Kane and Domenico, if they're listening, you guys just got a shout out. but if the Cubs, or excuse me, if the White Sox take a single game this year on the Cubs, I will finish the Crosstown Trivia Classic.
Wow.
Breaking
And
news live on this
it has
podcast.
to be White Sox themed because they're both White Sox fans.
Exactly.
Wouldn't it be great if they're not listening? Hopefully they're not for this part. Plug your ears, you guys, if you're listening. Be great if to throw them a bone and like we tell them it's gonna be Sox and Blackhawks and Bulls and Bears team, because I'll help you write the questions if this happened. We just do Cubs questions. Like we just like we don't tell them to expect it, and we see who does better at Cubs questions out of these two Sox fans. That'd be great.
That'd be hilarious. That'd be a major curveball.
Maybe we
I'm
should.
definitely going to give them some Cubs questions. They're
Okay.
baseball losers like me, and they know everything. So they're getting Cubs questions. This is a Cubs podcast, and that's not technically our podcast, but it's adjacent with our YouTube channel. So there's got to be Cubs questions on there. I don't care what they say.
Well, hello. Okay. Bombs away. Brent Rooker. Man, when he gets a hold of one, it goes a long ways.
A long
A
ways.
long ways. I need that on a shirt. I need an obvious shirt that has the whole ladder of statements in that one. It's gonna go down as one of the worst home run calls of all time. It's not about the announcer again. She's great. I mean, but it's just that call is terrible.
And it was like an
Terrible.
8-1 game.
That's, I mean, everyone's had a bad call here and there. What was the Boog one that we'd always be like, oh, I forget what it was, because Boog's been so great. Like Boog sang Safe the other day when Bellinger came home. It was cinema. But like he's just
Was.
like it, there's been everyone's had one of those before. It's just funny that it keeps happening, and it's always Brent Rooker.
No, I had one because for those of you that don't know, Mikey obviously retired, but I do games for ISU Radio. And I was like, just everything's just when someone hits a home run, so it just continues to process, right? And you're trying to come up with the right call. And it was this player for ISU hits one. And I literally said, Judah Morris hits it a long way. And I was like, bro, it's just registered in your brain because you watched that
A
shitty
long
call all
ways.
weekend.
A long ways. I had a bad one time when I was still in college, way back in the day of my glory days. And it was what, 2 weeks ago? But no, this was last year, and it my junior year. I think it was either sophomore or junior, and I was doing a softball game after doing strictly baseball like all year. It must have been junior because I was already doing TV. And I was doing TV and radio baseball like every weekend. And then I did one softball game for WZND. And as one of the softball players took one deep to left field, it was a bomb. And I just, not yell, but announcer voice, goodbye, baseball. And then I just like kind of sat there in silence for like 10 seconds as you rounded the bases. And I just kind of cleared my throat and was like, softball. And that was basically all it took. I wish I had a clip of it. It was on radio, so it's not like there's a TV call behind it, but it
Yeah.
was perhaps my biggest announcer fail ever. So we have all been there, that's for sure. But for some reason, there's some kind of curse behind Brent Rooker in this season, who has like 11 or 12 home runs this year. He's playing pretty well.
He's been awesome.
Yeah, and whenever he hits a home run, it's just like curse that it's not going to be. I guarantee you, if he ends up having like a great year, like let's say he keeps going and he gets close to like the Aaron Judge numbers, doubt it, but let's say it gets close, then it's going to be like, okay, we're in business. Like Brent Rooker home runs are electric. It'll
A
happen.
long way.
What if a long ways becomes like the classic Brent Rooker hashtag tag? Like that's like what they say every time.
That'd be a great way for her to like spin zone this. Like,
That's a huge PR move. Do that. Like that becomes Brent Rooker's thing.
I mean,
He's
the
not slowing
A's,
down any time.
they need some good PR right now, right? And if
Yeah.
this she could just change it into Brent Urquhart, it's in a long
I
way.
would love that. We needed that off the scoreboard in Kansas City, but instead it's got a chance. But that's the problem. And
Got a chance as it smokes the top of the score.
somebody pointed out that they're going to be playing in a Sacramento AAA stadium for the next few years. So if Brent Rooker's still around, he'll be hitting home runs that look even further than they are, because it's just going to be over like the burn in left field, whatever, like some grass probably. So
Yeah.
unless they put in seats, I don't know, but like it's going to go a long ways every time,
Yeah.
every
Well,
stinking time.
you know, he probably won't be on the A's because whenever the A's have a good player, they just decide to trade him. So
If they're playing Major League right now, they have no reason. They have no reason to win.
I'm pretty sure they fell off after a week of like back
Getting
to
hot.
relevancy. I gotta look at this now, but yeah.
I haven't seen posts about them being staying hot. That's for sure. I knew they were doing okay for a little while, but
Yeah.
hey, can we talk about your boys to end the episode in Kansas City? One of five teams to get to that 30-win levels as of last night. You were talking about the Royals in the preseason in our preseason episode, talking about your boy Bobby Witt and the rest of this Royals team. You said to me that this Royals team is going to be better than people think. They got two, I'll give myself credit. There's two AL Central teams in those top 30 or in those top five. One of them is Cleveland, who I also said I think will be really solid. But yeah, I mean, go AL Central, go Royals. That's cool. That who would have thought
Oh.
the worst division of baseball a year ago is going to have two of the hottest teams to start the year.
That's pretty impressive. I can't believe, like, even when you just mentioned that right there, I didn't even know they were at 30 wins. But yeah, Bobby Witt is such a stud. He hit two home runs today. One of them he hit like as hard as like one of the farthest home runs ever hit in that stadium. Went all the way up dead center field. You know, it splashed in that nice, cool like river thing they got
Fountain,
going out
yeah.
there.
It went a
Yeah,
long
it's
ways.
impressive. They made a lot of moves this offseason. I know one of their big moves was signing Seth Lugo, who has like a 1.67 on the year. So he's been throwing some meaningful innings. Cole Reagans is a stud. He's on my fantasy team. He's their ace down there. They got him for freaking Aroldis Chapman, the grandma lover, in a mid-season trade with the Rangers. If you don't know what the Aroldis Chapman thing I just mentioned, just
Look it
don't
up.
look it up. Yeah, I'm not even gonna say anything more. But
Yeah.
yeah, it's been impressive. The AL Central in general has been pretty shocking, how especially the Guardians and Royals, but you know, the Tigers have hung around, and the Twins are solid again as well too. I think they at one point they won like 11 games in a row or something like that. So yeah, go AL Central.
And the NL Central has started so competitive, aside from the Brewers and Cubs now, basically, has just completely fallen off. Pirates now 3 games under. Cardinals still remain five. Actually, the Reds have slipped under the Cardinals, which was not foreseen early on in the year by if you were a Reds fan. We could have told you that, but it's just what happens at this point. Yeah, the NL Central is quickly doing their best AL Central impression from a year ago. It is the AL West and the NL Central who are the only two teams that not have a 30-win team so far.
Really?
Yeah, I just looked it up to see who. So the Brewers and Mariners both have 28. The Cubs have 26. As of right now, as we record this, who knows what, you know, everything that can happen tonight. The Cubs game is still going on. But the Phillies, Dodgers in the NL, and then the Yankees, Guardians, and Royals in the AL are all those 30-plus teams.
Interesting.
And I could have told you that about the first three I named off. Phillies, Yankees, and Dodgers. But and we knew Cleveland would be solid. Ben knew Kansas City would be solid. But yeah. It's fun out there. It's going to be interesting to see who wins this division. And like you said, Ben, the Twins, who put up a great fight last year in the playoffs, are going to be fighting for that divisional crown this year with two other formidable opponents, it seems like. And the Tigers could still throw their hand in the mix as well.
And maybe we see two AL Central wildcard teams, which when we did
No.
our playoff predictions, we writ that off immediately. We just said
No.
there will be one team, one team.
No. They won't allow that. People won't allow that. They don't make enough money if two AL at least two AL East teams don't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
They don't make enough money for it. We what was the they're gonna try and find a way. Last year was the least watched World Series ever. They need the Yankees, they need the Dodgers, they need the Red Sox, even though the Red Sox are nowhere near it. I would personally would love to see the Guardians go on a run or the Royals.
They make no sense to me. That neither of those teams make sense to me how good they are, but congratulations to them. That youth movement's finally
Yeah.
working out. So yeah, it's good to see. I love this youth movement in baseball. As much as I love to see the Cubs succeed, one of my favorite things is to watch young players just burst on the scene. And we've seen that this year with Bobby Witt Jr., who's an AL MVP candidate, and my boy Gunnar Henderson for the Orioles. Sleeper MVP pick this year,
Yeah.
has the most home runs in Major League Baseball. He's been a stud.
Well, and I hate I hate making an NBA comparison on this podcast. That's exactly what I made this podcast for, because I don't like to talk about anything but like basically baseball or football, but and some hockey. But the bas we're seeing it right now in basketball. What's more fun but worse for ratings than LeBron James and the Lakers in the semifinals? It's Minneapolis and Anthony Edwards in the semifinals watching from home. Like, that's fun when a youth movement led team finds a way to win ball games and they're a random market, a smaller market than obviously Los Angeles, stuff like that. That's fun. That's the Kansas City Royals and Bobby Witt Jr. To me, that's what I look for in sports.
And I just going back to it though, when and compared to markets, I know the NBA was so upset when the Knicks lost
Oh my
because we
God.
were robbed of a Knicks Celtics Eastern Conference Finals, and
Except they get the
instead
Pacers.
you're gonna get Indiana. And then the same thing happened with the NHL, where it was gonna be Boston Bruins versus the New York Rangers, and that would have just been total chaos if it ended up being Knicks Celtics Bruins
Oh my
Rangers, but
God.
instead it's gonna be
Florida.
the New York Rangers versus the old per people's homes in Florida.
The Miami Panthers, the
Yeah.
Florida Panthers, who are based out of, Sunrise, Florida, Miami. That hockey's actually a lot of fun right now. And then the Oilers,
Both playoffs are. I am enjoying both playoffs a ton.
The Oilers took it last night. They got to go play the Stars. I would say out of the eight teams left in either way of the NBA and NHL, I'm happy for anyone. I maybe not the Celtics, maybe not the Rangers, but like there's a lot of fun small market teams left, and I love to see it.
I'm fine. At this point in both playoffs, I'm fine with any of the eight winning it, because in the Celtics, it's kind of like long overdue with
That's
Tatum and
true. That's
Jaylen
true.
Brown. And then the Rangers, I just kind of got like a soft spot in my heart for the Rangers just because of Panarin. So I would
Yeah,
like to
that's
see
the
him
bread
win his
man.
first.
Although Kane's got to be sitting on the couch at home punching his pillow every single time they win a game. Like, if he would have just
Yeah.
stuck around. I wanted to play with Alex DeBrincat, whatever. I'm sure it was fun while it lasted, but they missed the playoffs, and he did everything he could that night, but they missed the playoffs. He could be well on his way to another Stanley Cup if he was on these Rangers right now, if he would have re-signed there.
And
Who knows what the offer was? I don't
if
know,
they
but
lose too, he might have been the missing piece to the
that's
Stanley
true.
Cup as well.
That's true. Hey, the best you can do is come back to the Blackhawks and try and recreate the magic. The thought is there.
We'll
I don't
see.
know. We'll see. All right, thanks for listening to 120. Fun tangent at the end, but anyway, the Cubs continue against the Braves tonight. If you hear some yelling from Terry, you'll know that they won. From at least my bedroom here in the basement, as you can see, completely messy. All my clothes still kind of half putting away from college.
Come
Ben, you
on,
got the.
man. You've been home for like 2 weeks. I got
I
it all
know.
done last
I was
night.
about to say your regular background's back there.
Well, just like a note for everyone. There was a couple times this episode where for some reason our episode from last week kept chiming in my ears. I don't know what was going on. And the last time I paused it said it was me talking, and it was like, every time I feel like we do this, I'm in a new location. And once again, here we are, like 4 weeks in a row, and I'm in a new location yet again.
Look at that. Well, you're back to this location for foreseeable future, it
Or
seems like.
foreseeable, yes.
It seems like. We'll see. Who knows? We could always change up the locations. What we might have to do sometime is I go to your room and you come to mine and we record backwards just for the heck of it.
Well, what's the fun in that? We don't
Well,
get to
because,
see each other then in person.
well, we'll have to meet halfway somewhere at the very least, get lunch, and then go the opposite way. It'd be a lot of rigmarole for one shitty joke on YouTube, but either way, thanks for listening. Go Cubs.